Hello and welcome to the Intentional Father, an MLG podcast. We are on a journey of exploring how we grow as godly dads, making intentional and practical steps towards building stronger relationships with our children to help them discover who they are in Christ. As always, John and I are together. How are you doing, John?
Yeah, good. Thank you, Tim. It's been enjoying being in my garden today, building my shed base. So... yeah, it's been fun. How about you?
Very stereotypically manly thing to be doing, isn't it?
Yeah. My dad came over to help, which is very nice of him.
Oh, your dad came over to help. Oh, yes. Tick box.
Tired him out.
Was he intentionally fathering you still?
No, it was a bit ad hoc, actually. It was a bit distressing that it wasn't as intentional as I wanted it to be, but we got the job done anyway.
Good. Well done. Good stuff. So today we're talking about family and mission, aren't we? Or family on mission. And this is such an important subject, I think, to both of our hearts, really, is that for so many people, I think they just miss this altogether, or they get it kind of completely wrong. And so we're going to start by talking really about really what's gone wrong with family, because, you know, families are a little bit in crisis, aren't they? And so I don't know if you want to speak into that a bit, John, to kick us off.
Yeah, talking to that, I mean, I think it's really important to realise that when we talk a bit about the crisis in families, we're not kind of like pointing out families where perhaps people are divorced or single parenting. Like, it's not kind of about that. So, like, we're going to talk about things today which I think are really applicable, both for those when you're in families where you've got a mum, dad, you know, kids, whatever, but also if you're seeing your kids every other weekend, that these things can be put into practice. So just adapt what we're saying, I guess, to it. But there's no doubt that, you know, if you just look at the stats, that you know, families are in crisis. There are kind of challenges both for families that are broken for various reasons, but also for families that are intact. There's a sense of which we sense a brokenness, don't we, in our own families as well. And families, as you know, being created, if you like, as teams. And it's one of the books that we recommended Jefferson Bethkay, talks a lot about being the family, being a team, like functioning as a team that's meant to go out and to bless the world, you know, and to be a unit that is not just building themselves, but they're building something bigger than themselves, to kind of build a legacy, if you like, to build something meaningful, to be a blessing to the world, to actually kind of just to go out there and to actually change, you know, in a sense, change the world, to make the world a better place, if you like. But when we think about families, we think, well, what does that actually mean? So we've got like a biblical family and we've got the nuclear family. In our last episode, we'll talk about God's design of the biblical family of the church. So like, hold these two episodes together, if you like, but a nuclear family is what we've been told is normal. And that's really only been since about 1950s, where, you know, you've got the idea of two parents, two kids, a dog, you know, it's really been a Western invention. And that was kind of post-war. It's when people were saying, like, you don't need to be connected with other people. Like, let's get people to build their own houses and be very self-sufficient. And basically consume stuff. And actually, people having more money post-war meant that you didn't need to be dependent on others anymore. You could, it kind of existed, this nuclear family. So you've got this kind of that dividing point, which, and I think it's Jefferson Bethkay talks about that in his book, again, like around 1950. Mm. From then, we've been this kind of nuclear family, where it's all about sort of safety and security and protecting and kind of consuming, whereas pre-1950 you might argue it was a bit more like the biblical model. Actually, family was about being on mission, about going out and doing something. So this kind of idea of mission versus consumption, does that make sense?
It does. And I think this is where the West needs to learn a lot from other cultures all around the world. I mean, if you go to Asia, spend quite a bit of time in Asia, you know, they would see family as a much broader thing than simply two parents and two children. The same in Africa, the same in other parts of the world, really. And I think that's partly because you said it's financial, you're dependent. There isn't the kind of the safety net of, you know, of government support, and so therefore you can't be dependent. You have to be dependent on a wider group of people. But I also just think we're very individualistic, aren't we? So we can kind of craft this beautifully kind of individual experience where you know, family are part of our individual experience rather than actually having to fit into something broader. Mm. And I think there's a deep longing, isn't there, in people's hearts for family. I mean, I was having a conversation, my boys were watching a TV show. They're quite into watching kind of series of things. And it's interesting, all the series that they've enjoyed watching are basically all about families. Yeah. So whether you're watching a TV series that we'd all be familiar with, like Friends, it's all about six people who are more of a family than their biological family.
Yeah.
Big Bang Theory is another, I quite like that. That's just about family. A diverse group of people coming together and forming something. And I think there's something really deep in us that longs for that, and that's what draws us to that. All those great TV programs, they always become about, they might not start like this, but nearly always it ends up about basically about being a family and protecting the family, and that family having a purpose beyond simply just having a nice kind of, you know, house with a nice garden and a nice white picket fence, really, isn't it? And and I suppose that's, you know, when we're thinking about being intentional, it's trying to craft that bigger vision, isn't it, for family? Yeah. Which is why we can, you know, when we talk, I mean, you know, other people listen to other podcasts we do, and one of the ones we did recently was about singleness, wasn't it? We were just talking about this before we came on air. And you know, recognising that we can draw single people into our family, because if our vision for family is broader than simply just protecting me and my children, it actually opens up loads of possibilities about how our family can grow and expand simply beyond just the number of children we have and how our children need to be part of that. So I went off on a little rant there, John. That wasn't part
that's
of
great. No, it's great. No, I need to, but it's so true, isn't it? About so many of these TV programs, it's totally about family. Well, some watching EastEnders for the first time ages of the day, it's pretty dysfunctional. But no, I totally agree. But as well, like there is a sense, isn't there, in advertising and you know, so much about being part of the family, you know, and it's and sports as well. I mean, you hear people talk about their sports team as, you know, it's like you're in a family, cultivating this family atmosphere, which is you know, being part of a team, which is really, really amazing. So yeah, that's the kind of the what we really wanted to focus on is to say, look, we want to be mission based. Like intentional fatherhood is about saying, right, in my families, with my children, I want us to be mission-based rather than consumption-based. Yeah. It's not, rather than just saying this is about us and like we're just going to basically taking everything in. Instead, we're going to say, well, okay, God has given us a sense of like stewardship over creation, you know, to subdue and to rule and to bless, to kind of actually to pour out from our families into the lives of other people, passing on to them blessing. And that can be through the legacy that we leave. It can be through perhaps the money that we generate. It will be through the character formation in our children who are going to go out and be a blessing to others. Mm. And we want to just kind of pause briefly on this concept of a family story, that sense of which, have we kind of got a sense in our families of what our story is, of what it is to be, for me, what it is to be a Greenall? And for some of us, we can look back and we might go back, you know, several generations and say, ah, yes, you know, we Greenalls have been doing this for many years. And of course, in other societies, as you say, it might be something like, well, we are, you know, locksmiths, or we are, I don't know, butchers or whatever. There's a sense of which, as a family, this is what we do. This is what it means to be a green, or this is what it means to be a cross. For a lot, most of us, I think we'd probably be like, oh, that's not quite true for me. My dad comes from an unchristian family. Like, you know, in the sense that our spiritual story doesn't sort of seem to go very much beyond one generation. But it's important for us to kind of just be thinking about this. And this will be one of our topics, I think, in the workbook, is to think about our family story. And you look at kind of the book that we've recommended talks a bit about the Jewish community and how the Jewish community already knows the story that they're part of. And so if you like, if you're a young person in a Jewish family, you're growing up surrounded by these rituals and these traditions, and but what they all do is they impart a sense of who you are as a person. Like your religion is very much like, this is who we are, this is what we do. And young people don't have to kind of spend as much time working out who they are. They can just kind of continue from what's been passed on. You know, I'm Jewish, my dad does this, my mum does this, this is what I do. But actually in the Western world, we actively are told, no, you are an individual. You were talking about a minute ago, Tim. It's individualism. It's like you're an individual. Doesn't matter what's happened before. Doesn't matter what story you're part of. You're creating a new story. Like it's the beginning of it. You need to generate who you are, your identity, your mission. It's all up to you. And you can be whatever you want to be, right? Which is amazingly kind of powerful because it's like, well, you can break free from all of that stuff. If it's, and that's very appealing if it's bad stuff. If our family stories have not been great, like really appealing. But actually, there can be a problem as well because it's a real burden on young people and our children to say, well, you can generate all of your, generate everything from scratch. You can be who you want to be. And I think what we're saying is that actually being families on mission, if we're thinking about the story of our family, what we're part of and what sort of the bigger picture, what we want to pass on, that can be incredibly helpful for our children as we seek to kind of parent them intentionally. Again, does that make sense? I feel like I'm waffling on there.
Yeah, no, it does. Absolutely. I think that's, you know, that's key, isn't it? Is that, you know, we, I think this whole idea about individualism, you've got to find your own story, is exhausting, to be honest. Yeah. It's much healthier and I think much more, you know, normal of the human experience, actually, if you go and look, you know, around the world, again, taking a world, a much broader world perspective of different cultures and places around the world, they don't think like that. You know, like I met a Filipino recently, a nurse, you know, not in the church, associated church, and, she, and I think she was over here working and basically paying for money for her family back home, and she was very content with that, and it was all part of this whole idea that I don't just work for myself and my own, you know, that I'm part of maintaining the family, even though I'm a long way away, I'm still actually part of this family and a key part of that family. It was just really, it was just interesting to realize, like, oh, we've used things, you know, and I found that really, like, you would go and work in another country, just, you know, but that's quite normal for a lot of people all around the world. And I think helping our kids understand it's okay, they don't have to all the time be discovering themselves from scratch, that actually you do have a family story to tell is really important. I suppose it's probably worth me talking about my, because I think my family are a very strong identity. And what's interesting is that that's several generations down now. So, you know, really on both sides, both my family and Helen's family for several generations have really been people that have served in active leadership in the church and have really laid down their lives to serve in the church. And about a year or so ago, my grandfather and Helen's grandfather died in the same week. And so we had funerals that were both close together. And what's really interesting about both those funerals, we took all three of our boys to those funerals and we had a really deliberate conversation with them about really like this, guys, this is who you are. Like you come from a tradition of godly men who love their wives, love their families and served the church. Particularly they gave themselves to serve the church and they gave up time, they gave up money, they traveled to serve the church in other places. And it's very much kind of who we are. And so as I talk to my boys, I'm kind of sort of saying like, you know, you may serve the church in different ways. You know, it may not be that you're a church leader directly like I am at the moment, but actually in your life, you know, you've got, you know, as a family, we are serving the church. It's who we are. It's what we do. And it's interesting how my youngest brother, for example, who doesn't go to our church, you know, he's gone off to another church with his wife and, of course, has got sort of involved and connected and engaged because it's kind of just what we do. It's like, well, this is, we're crosses. We serve the church and we find places to do that. And that's almost like how we – now, not every family has that. In like, so not every family has a calling to serve the local church. It might be that their family is medical. I mean, you probably know, you know, you in your medical work know that there's families where their grandfather was a doctor, their mother was a doctor, and now they're a doctor. And it's like, this is who we are. I mean, my dad's side of the family, that's what they do. They're all doctors. Yeah. And their whole family's doctors. And one broke away and was a vet. medical, but for the wrong type of species. But it's almost like, but it's almost like that's their identity. They live to serve in that way. And I think it's not just about activity, it's also about values. And I'm sure we'll talk a bit more about that. But
No, it's brilliant. And as I said, I think if you're listening to this, you probably recognize the tension from what we said at the beginning. It's not all about nuclear family and just you're just our kids. But actually there is something about that we are talking about the biological kind of sense of what's been passed down. Both biologically, and sometimes that relates to what profession you do and things like that, but actually the spiritual inheritance you know, that God wants us to pass down? And I think that's a really good question for us to ask ourselves. It might be that we can't put it as tangibly as that what you just said, Tim, which is really helpful. But actually, what's the spiritual inheritance that God wants us to pass down? Perhaps particular traits that we've seen. You know, talking about Heidi's, my wife, her family, and her grandparents, and she was just kind of pointing out some of what they passed down to their children and then to their grandchildren, of which she's one of them, and now down to the great-grandchildren. There's actually a spiritual inheritance there that they're passing on. And we talked a bit about that, and we talked about what we want to, how we want to see that in our kids. How might we do that? A lot of it was just be like her nan and gramps, and basically just keep going, keep showing up, and you know, enjoying each other's company, stuff like that. So yeah, what's our family story? And as you've kind of touched on that, Tim, recognizing that some of us have really difficult family stories, and that there's always an opportunity in God's grace to reset the story.
Well, that's exciting, isn't it? Because I think if you're someone that's not, your parents weren't Christians and you've got no spiritual legacy, like this is almost even more important. Like you're setting a legacy that will last for generations in a way. Part of my challenge, I think, is being, you know, a third or potentially fourth generation Christian, at least, and in church leadership, where loads of my other family members have been missionaries and church leaders, is can I continue to live up to that? You know, that's my challenge. And can my children continue? Whereas if you're a first generation person, what an amazing opportunity to, you know, to pray with your wife and say, what is the legacy we want to be? Our family name, if that's a, you know, maybe a little bit twee, but you know, like almost what do we want to be known for? You know, what do we want to be about? You know, and I think it's a great opportunity. Great. It's exciting if that's you. And really, if you've had maybe mixed heritage, then, you know, reset the clock. You know, this is an opportunity to reset it and to really try and pass something down that's going to impact the world, you know, in a really meaningful way.
Yeah, and that, let's get into that in our small groups. It'd be great to really kind of thresh that out and to pray for each other as well, you know, because to help us with that would be great. So yeah, family story is really important. Family values we wanted to touch on. We talked a bit about personal values back in session 2, and sometimes family values, they're going to probably link into a lot of your personal values, but actually if you're married and you're kind of doing parenting together, there's going to be a mixture and there's going to be new things that come out because our kids aren't exactly like us. So there's going to be kind of a bit of a mix here. But we feel it's really important just to pause on this and say that family values are important because we all have things that we value as families and as individuals. But as families, we will value stuff. And the question is it the right stuff? Are we giving proper focus to the things that really, really matter? So maybe it's helpful if we just give some examples of what some family values might be, just to kind of help us to sort of think about it. Tim, have you got any examples from your family or from other families that you've kind of spotted over the years?
Yeah, so when we were really young, I think I might have said this before on this podcast, but, there was a guy called Larry Hill that preached, and he talked about this. And so Helen and I picked it up from him and his wife. And basically, the two things that we've always traditionally valued are in our family are honesty and kindness. Mm. So we want our family to be honest and we want them to be kind. Yeah. And as that kind of was a foundational thing for kind of building character, I think. You know, rather than fairness, it was kindness, and rather than, you know, we were always valued basically honest. But now we've added two more, I think, as the kids have got older and developed. And I think those two values, which start to feed into the mission, are really friendship. We really place a high value as a family on friendship. We have a lot of friends as family, you know, as family. We see the importance of trying to build friendship and maintain friendship with a wide group of people. And the second is take responsibility. So it's like we're trying to teach our boys, our family takes responsibility. Your aunt did it. Your uncle did it. Your grandparents did it. They all stepped up and they took responsibility. And so we're teaching them to take responsibility. And our family carries the burden. I think about the Levites in the Old Testament, and each family, I mean, you could go back to this, it's in the Old Testament, each family had a kind of responsibility, didn't they? Each of them had a section in the priesthood that they were responsible for their bit, and each of them had to take responsibility. And so being on mission for us is about taking responsibility. And so whether that's responsibility for who kicked the ball over the fence, you know, or you know, it's someone's got to take responsibility and someone's got to step up. Yeah. Can't just keep passing it on to other people. So that's kind of what we, you know, for us, honesty and kindness were our kind of foundational kind of relational values. And I think taking responsibility and investing in friendship have been the two that we've added on in there as the boys have come into teenage years, really.
Yeah. That was brilliant.
What about you?
I mean, well, classic John. We've gone for seven. This is me, right? I will basically overdo it. So I think seven's probably too many. I mean, I'll give you two examples of them. One is we need others. So they're all kind of we statements. Like one is we need others, that we share life, we receive from other people in true friendship. And as an antidote, if you like, to consumerism and just saying we're kind of self-sufficient, because we naturally can be quite self-sufficient. So we deliberately, if you like, say we kind of need others. Another one is we are for each other. So like we support and encourage each other, because yes, I don't know about your kids, but certainly remind sometimes, you know, actually infighting and like criticism. And so actually we're saying, no, we are for each other. Remember, this is who we are. And these are aspirations more than like just things that just happen every day. It's like these are things we need to remind ourselves of. So this is what we want to be like. So there's that. I mean, I've got a friend of mine who's got, who maybe listened to that actually, and they've got family values as alpha. So that's aspiration, love each other, patience, honesty, and always serve others. They've made it into, you know, this five-letter acronym, ALPHA. And people do stuff like that. So it's worth just sort of thinking about, I think, you know, it's quite fun just to think, well, what do we do and what are we aspiring to? And your values might be sort of a bit of a mixture of those two things, if you like.
I think this is where the mission is so important, because those things like that ALPHA one is basically leading their family towards saying, we don't just exist for ourselves, we exist for something else. And I think... You know, I mean, we would probably place, like, we wouldn't call this an official value, but obviously we serve the church. My boys serve the church already, all of them, the older two particularly, because they're of age to do so. And almost they're like, oh, why do we have to get up and go? And it's like, well, because this is what we do. It's what we do as a family. It's hard. And we talk about the fact it's hard, but, you know, we take responsibility. You know, we invest in this. This is important. So it's again, broader, isn't it? Broader vision.
And actually what you've said there is really important. Actually, you're actually doing something to establish values. So they're not just up on the wall. Like, I know most homes are going to have these values on the wall, which is fine. It's helpful, like visual reminders. Mine are just here, but actually I'll forget them. But actually if you build in stuff that actually says, well, actually we serve, so like we actually go and serve, or friendship is our value, like you see friends a lot, right? So actually, sometimes actually establishing things that you do, and they might be things like traditions. It might be like, okay, we have a weekly games night. So, I mean, we have a family film night on a Friday, for example. You know, we value eating together. So we eat together as much as we can around the table. We have certain kind of like traditions that we will do. So one example is when it's someone's birthday in our house, everyone else will have a turn to say what they appreciate about that person. And it's just a nice thing that we do. And people do actually like it, even though they'll complain sometimes. They secretly like it. And it is amazing when you have like six people kind of tell you like what they appreciate about you. And that goes back to our value that we're for each other. So we've built in like traditions. Some of them have just happened. Some of them we've been more intentional about, that just sort of reinforce some of those values and help us to kind of live them out, if you like. So yeah, that's sort of the family values. What, Tim, what about kingdom values? You know, so because we talk about like those are things like for us individually, but is there anything broader that we should be thinking about as Christian dads?
Well, I think this is why church to me is not an optional extra. I'm going to speak really strongly here, because I think this is so important. I think if you treat church, if you're listening to this and you treat church as an optional extra, what you're communicating is church is for me when it suits me. Whereas if you're saying, no, we commit to church, we commit to go, not because it's easy or because it's necessarily even we want to go. I'm telling you, as a church pastor, there are many days when I'd much rather stay at home and chill out on the sofa, right? And I know like I'm a pastor, but I didn't.
Me too.
That was the same before I was ever in ministry. And the reason is, and this is, I suppose, because it's like, it's not, you know, church is, if you want to show your kids what it means to serve others, then, you know, we get involved. Don't just come to church and attend. Yeah. And church is a really practical way of doing this kind of stuff, you know, as a family. Yeah. And I think that's, you know, if you're talking about as a family, obviously you can serve your, you know, in your workplace, if you're a, I don't know, a banker or whatever, you can serve in that environment, but your family aren't serving with you in that environment. But as a family, we go to church together and we serve together and we commit and we go on Sunday and we're regular to Sunday, yeah, because actually it's a priority. And we say we do this and we're not just here for ourselves, we're here for other people. And so I think that's really important. I think inviting people into your families is another really good way. So opening up your home, particularly opening up your home to people who are not like you. So it's very easy to open up your home to people that have got loads of kids that are like your kids. That's great, that's easy. But what about inviting single people around, or older couples, or people that, you know, or families with the kids aren't so nice? I mean, we talked to our kids again, you know, we had some people come and visit us recently, and, you know, our kids didn't know their kids. And we gave, you know, we spent a long time talking to them before we come around. We are here to serve this family. It doesn't matter whether you like them or you don't like them. They'd never really spent any time with them, so they couldn't answer whether they would or not. But it's like your attitude is you're here to serve them and to take them, again, take responsibility for this. You know, we're building in friendships. So I think, you know, you serve. If I would say, how do you invest in kingdom values? Commit to church, man, like seriously, and commit to serving in church and getting involved, because that demonstrates so many, you know, values that are beyond just us as our little family. And I think inviting, opening up your home, doing time of study, worship, prayer together, those kind of things demonstrate that kind of stuff as well, I think, you know, as well as all the other stuff that you do, just that it's good parenting.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, and I'm really can't wait to hear people just share what they do, because I think there's going to be some really rich stuff in there. So, yeah, that's great. So we've talked about families being in crisis, talked about family values, and kingdom values, and we talked before that about the family story. So I think we probably need to start wrapping up with time. Let's get back to our title, which is being a family on mission. What and let's just kind of, we're just going to nail this home, if you like. What does it mean to be a family on mission? And we've kind of really started to answer that. It's about serving. It's about looking outwards. It's about looking to bless the world. It's about having conversations with our kids where we're saying, this isn't just all about you. It's not all about us. We are here for a purpose. We are this family team, if you like, and teams exist to serve others. And actually, that's what we want to do, look outwards. So there's these three in the book that we've been recommending, Jefferson Bethke's book. He talks about these three different ways of viewing family, and the kind of three ways that people tend to view family when they're kind of doing it intentionally. And the first two are the way kind of not to do it, just as a clue in advance. And the third way, which is family on mission, is the way to do it. So the first is family and mission. So this is kind of like you've got family here and you've got mission there. It's kind of like a separate life. So I'm a pastor here and I do my stuff, and then my family are there and I go back, and my family aren't involved in my life as a pastor. And, you know, there are well-known examples where people have admitted that that's how they've done their ministry life. So Billy Graham, for example, you know, the story of him not recognizing one of his children when he came home, he'd been away for so long. Or A.W. Tozer, the biography sort of explains that he spent such a long period of time away from his family that sometimes his wife and children were neglected. There are many stories like that. We don't want to pick on those two guys unfairly, but they've certainly publicly said that that's something that they regret. So yeah, family here, mission there, they're kind of two separate things, and that's not the way to go. So that's family and mission. Tim, how about family as mission, which is the second one?
Yeah, and I think family as mission is where you treat your family as your mission. And again, talk about the nuclear family here, not just the wider family, I think. You know, but the idea of basically, I essentially exist to serve my family, and my family is number one. It's the priority. And you do hear a lot of people talk like this. It's a very worldly value, I think. You know, you see people approaching everything. They see their kids, you know, they basically live for their kids. They live for their wife. They live for their holiday. They live to earn money just for the family. And really, you know, everything's just for the family. And I think that's very, I just think it's very unhealthy. I don't think that's how God's designed us to be. And I think it's a, Yeah, it's just, to repeat myself, I think it's just unhealthy. I just think it plays way too much emphasis on the kids. I do see it, to be honest, in some of the, we are involved with sports teams, and you can see it, these families, that these dads and mums that just live for their kids and their family. And it's all about, basically, I go to work and I earn money so that we can basically just do things together as a family and to serve each other's needs. And it's just very, I don't know, it just seems very narrow, you know, it just seems very unfulfilling. As Christians, we've surely got more to live for than just the three people or four people that live in our little...
And that comes back down to the vision, doesn't it? Like, what are we here for? If you're a sports team and you're saying, well, actually, we're here just to kind of have great practice sessions and to sort of beef each other up. It's like, well, what's the point? We're actually here to go out and play and to win some games, right? We're here to do something out there. And that's, you're right, it just seems kind of anemic and just limited. Yeah. It's just, but it's everywhere. And I feel the temptation to do this a lot. So we're not just kind of saying, oh, aren't other people awful? But I feel this pressure a lot to make my children like my mission. And it's, as you say, I think it's a very worldly value. So yeah, family as mission. Mm. So yeah, family on mission. So let's just conclude this, shall we? So this is our title, family on mission. What does that look like, Tim?
Yeah, I think it's really repeating what we've been saying, isn't it? It's God's wired us to be a team. He's wired us to operate as a unit, to support and serve a bigger cause and a bigger vision in whatever sphere that may be that the Lord has called you to do, whether it is, a primary focus of the local church or whether it's, through some other just cause. But I think it's giving your family a sense of something greater. I think what's interesting as well is that I've met a lot of children, a lot of adults who grew up where their dads or their mums were so invested in the church and they got left on the sidelines. And what happens is they resent church. And so they walk away from church because they resent it. Because they think,
family and mission.
Yeah, family and mission. I mean, a lot of people that basically see church as an optional extra because basically they're just selfish, basically. Mm-hmm. And they just grew up thinking, well, everything's all about me all the time. Mm-hmm. And so really, I kind of involve church. Well, I can kind of take it or leave it because, to be honest, well, it's really all about me. It's not about anything bigger. And I think the people that I think that are both healthy, well-rounded, and actually make a difference in the world, really, are those people, Christians, who grew up in families where there was a bigger vision and a bigger purpose. And and those are the people that really lay their life down because they realise, actually, this is healthy. It's healthy to live for something beyond just myself and what I need. And so that, I suppose, is really what family on mission is all about.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, I mean, look, I am sold on this. There's so much where I could just chat for hours, but we can do that in our Zoom call and our small groups. But that's so helpful. Well, as we finish, which we must, let's just a couple of practical points, shall we, just to sort of nail down. Well, what does that actually look like? Because hopefully you find this really helpful, and we found it helpful. This is the stuff that we've taken on board, by the way, and we've mulled it over and we've packaged up like this. So we're not coming up with all of this stuff, if you like, off our own backs. But we want to get practical. Hopefully some of the practical examples have helped. So let's just give a couple of other practical pointers just to kind of get our conversations going as to how can we actually be these families on mission. So Tim, a couple of things from you that you found helpful.
Yeah, I think obviously once you've had a conversation with your wife, assuming that you've got a wife or a friend if you don't, if you're single and you're listening to this, once you've kind of figured out what it is you're trying to aim at and prayerfully kind of consider it, I think one thing that we do a lot of is have family meetings. Like that works for us. So we sit down and discuss things together as a family. And so we kind of share, not in a weird way, but we talk about, come on, guys, we need to take more responsibility, and we'll talk about that together in a conversation. So if you don't have regular, obviously, if your kids are young, that doesn't work. If your kids are, 8 or 9 or under, it doesn't really work. But if your kids are kind of eight, kind of that age where they're able to kind of discuss, then I would really recommend, once a month, just sitting down together and talking as a family. You talk at work, you have a kind of team meeting because you want to see how the team's going and how you're getting on. Why do you not do that as a family? If you're a family on mission, you talk about how do we do this? How can we do this better? How can we support one another? So I think, to be honest, for me, if you did that one simple thing, start having a family meeting, periodically, and just make it doesn't have to be heavy or stressful or intense. It can be quite natural. It can be over dinner. you know, while you're eating dinner, you know. But yeah, that would be what I'd suggest.
Yeah, great. And I agree with you. Mine would be, for us, it's family meal times are often the natural place where that happens. And it just means that sometimes these things do come out. And actually being the intentional part of it is just being occasionally ready to ask those questions. And I've found it really helpful, actually, just to ask that question to my kids. You know, what do you think we're here for? Why has God put us together as a family? Like, what's our purpose? To be honest, the first couple of times I asked the question, my kids hadn't a clue what I was talking about, because I just used the wrong words. But I did find a phrase in the end that I think actually my two older ones kind of got, and they understood it. And we had quite an interesting conversation. It was short, and it was cut short by someone throwing food at the other person, of course. But at least we did have a brief discussion on it. So I agree. I think just finding something really simple, it doesn't have to be big and complicated. It's really important, as you were saying, if you're married, to have those conversations together, because like, if you're not kind of owning those things together and supporting each other when it's tough, when it's really hard to kind of follow through on some of these things, it doesn't always work. So yeah, that would be my practical pointer.
That's good. Good. Yeah, brilliant. Well, I think that concludes our session 7. So we've got one more after this, which is really talking more specifically about the church and family, how that we can be church as family, which will be really exciting. So we look forward to doing that. But until next time, we will see you then.
Cheers, Tim. Bye.